web. Richard is in Stars Hollow. Richard in Stars Hollow.
He tells Lorelai how to live her life.
No car.
Don't do it. Hey, welcome to Gilmore, guys. I'm Kevin.
I'm Demi.
And we're the Gilmore guys. Ah, man, 2015 is just barreling along, and we're barreling right along with it and with you guys. Yeah. Thank you so much for listening.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Want to give a shout out to the iTunes review challenge. We're going to do it. But guys, long story short, things are a little tight today. Time's tight. And so we're going to, for the 500,000 people that left us reviews on iTunes in the last week, we're going to save that for the end of the episode, maybe for a special extended bonus rap challenge.
Like the kind of rap that's like, it has like different levels. Like mm-hmm. It's the... what's the beat across the universe of rap?
True.
Yeah.
Does the movie?
No, the song.
Because that movie has a few levels.
Okay, then
on which it's
the
terrible.
Movie. Oh.
Ooh, sorry, Julie
do
Taymor.
Not agree
we
on
love
movies.
You. Do we love Julie Taymor? I think we do.
I liked The Tempest.
It's hard after Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark, though.
I didn't see it.
That's true.
Although I know that Bono was involved, and I'm not his greatest fan.
You don't like Bono
I
at
don't
all.
I like Bono.
What?
He's a good person. I just don't like his music.
So you like the person, don't like the music. That's interesting because it's usually the reverse.
I don't even know if I like the person. Like he does good things, and I can't hate him. You know. Mm-hmm. Anyway,
Paul Hewson, he's probably a good guy. That's his name. His name is Paul.
Yeah,
I think the Edge's name is like Dave or something. It's Dave and Paul. It's probably not Dave. But guys, I know last time on the show we promised a big scoop, and this seems to be happening a lot. Like, people are releasing interviews with, like, Jay or the prosecution. And we got in touch with Adnan because he is a big-time gilly.
Super huge gilly.
But at the last minute, guess who Christian bailed on us? Adnan Saeed.
I feel like I don't trust him anymore, you know? It's like, we used to be such good pals.
Yeah.
He would text me just like, yo, meet me outside the Best Buy. And I was just like, yo, I'm there. And then he wasn't there when I got there. Now he just show up to the show.
He used to text you, yo, look at this payphone that exists.
Yeah. I never saw that payphone, but...
But in lieu of Adnan Saeed...
We have someone better.
We have someone, dare I say, even better.
Because they have not been accused of any murders.
Did anyone confirm for next week, by the way, for the next episode?
Of Serial?
No, of our show, of Gilmore Guys. Do we have a guest lined up? Did you get in touch with anybody?
I can text Tom again.
T. Hanks. Yeah, try him out.
You know what? Actually, I'm going to text Tom Cruise.
Yes.
Because I know he's in town.
He's a big Jess Rory shipper.
Oh, dude will not... on the set of Mission Impossible 4, mm-hmm. I heard that he wanted to name the characters all after Gilmore Girls characters, mm-hmm. and they were like, this doesn't make sense. Don't do that.
Yeah, he wanted to call it Mission Impossible 4 Jess Protocol.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't let him. But we have someone even better than all those dumb idiots, so let's intro him right now.
La la, la la. Special guest.
Well, you know this gentleman from riding on Two Broke Girls? It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. You definitely know him from Vine. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Patrick Walsh.
Hi, everybody. Thank you.
Yeah. Let's just stare at each other as this music goes on.
This is the rest of the show.
This is not the Gilmore Girls theme song, is it?
It is not.
Okay.
It is one of the music cues written by Sam Phillips, the composer.
Who is a woman? I've made that mistake
before.
Who is
a woman? And you definitely won't be making that mistake very soon.
No, I will not.
Patrick, thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
Hey, thanks for having me, fellas.
So, as it goes, just to pull the curtain back a little bit, we usually approach people that we love, to come on the show and like talk about it, like different people we love. You're one of the first people that approached us about being on the show.
I did.
Which is such an honor for us to even be considered.
It makes me look a little desperate, which I am. But I ran into Demi. I'd never seen an episode of the show. And I said, hey, I'd love to watch it. If you want somebody who's never seen it, that might be an interesting perspective. Little did I know you guys do that all the time. But
we do it all the time, but not to give me away. Yeah, actually, let's just get into it.
Sure.
Did you like the show?
I very much liked the show.
Yes. Everyone's going to be so happy.
Everyone just sighed a huge breath of relief.
We got a gilly.
But I did. So I looked on The Onion. They do their reviews of the episodes or whatever.
Yeah.
And one before mine was listed as, like, by far the worst episode in the history of Gilmore Girls. And I was annoyed that I didn't get that one because I thought, oh, I'd have so much more to talk about and it'd be funny. But if I had started with that one, maybe I wouldn't have liked the show and continued.
Want to become a gilly. See, that's the tension, and that's why it's hard to, like, a lot of the scheduling here is random in terms of, like, who we get to do, like, and for what episode.
Yeah.
But it is nice when it does work out where it's like, oh, yeah, you liked the show, and it was a good episode, because you actually went back and watched the pilot. Is that true?
After I saw that one, I thought, I feel like I didn't really watch it because there was no
context.
No, I was going to say no Melissa McCarthy.
Oh, that's true. Yeah,
and
she wasn't in this
episode. Kiko, or whatever that girl's name is in the credits. And I thought I hadn't really experienced the show because there were all these characters I didn't see.
Totally.
Did you guys find the one before this one to be the worst ever?
If I remember correctly, there were parts of it that were enjoyable, but overall, there was a drag in the room when we were going over it.
I don't remember it being particularly awful, though. I remember the one before last one being very good.
Was awesome. So, yeah, Bracebridge Dinner. Yeah.
They completely, like, trashed it. They said it was even worse than when it apparently falls apart in season 7.
Oh, boy.
I don't think I agree. Well, we'll get to that. I don't know if I agree with that.
Okay.
But, we'll see. It is such a relief to hear that you like the show.
A lot of people reach out to us and say, like, hey, like the show. Wish you had people that like the show on the show.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, but...
Well, I actually put in Two Broke Girls this week, a Gilmore Girls joke that stayed in and will be on the air.
Nice.
Wow.
As a little
inside
wink.
Scoop.
Now,
wow.
I'm not going to do that every time.
Well, Gilmore Guys is affecting national television now.
We
That's
have
amazing.
Our own sort of Illuminati effect on television.
So here's the joke. It's the manager of the diner,
Han,
the short dude, and he comes in and he goes, where the hell is Max? Kat Dennings. Where the hell is Max? And if that information should happen to come with the whereabouts of my Gilmore Girls keychain, then all the better.
I cannot wait.
It's a pretty funny little joke.
Yeah.
And it brings Gilmore Girls back into the public eye.
People are going to see that and be like, I got to watch that show again. I just remember.
We'll give you one of our mugs to put on the set the day they
just slip it in there.
Yeah, I'm sure that wouldn't be the most distracting prop in the world. What is this mug? Well, let's get into the episode discussion at hand. Episode 212, Richard in Stars Hollow, which is interesting given that it is kind of a parallel of Emily in Wonderland from season 1.
Yeah.
But just in a different, less whimsical way.
There are a lot of episodes where people outside of Stars Hollow come to Stars Hollow, and it always kind of has the same effect of, like, people being brought to this small town, and they're like, hotty toddy, and they're just like, oh, this is so weird and lovely. But, like, with Richard, it's very different. Because he, like, doesn't give a shit about the town.
He's like, what is this bullshit?
Yeah.
So let's open up with the segment we use to get into the discussion of every episode. A little segment we call Pop
Goes the Culture.
A segment called Pop Goes the Culture, where we take every pop culture reference in the show and put them together in a supercut and see what we can make of it, man. So this is episode 212, Pop Goes the Culture.
Costner, Bull Durham, Dances with Wolves, The Postman, Tom Petty, playing Tom Petty, that great big speech about once upon a time there was a thing called mail. It'll make you laugh, it'll make you cry, it'll make you want to mail something.
Who's your friend?
Angela Lansbury.
Huh?
Oh, we could do a Ruth Gordon film festival. Harold and Maude, Rosemary's Baby, and that really great episode of Taxi.
Do the Florida people know about you? Because Anita Bryant left this huge gap that is yet to be filled.
Is that where you keep the girls? You got yourself a little cat house up there?
Several of my Churchill biographies.
Reverend Nichols?
Reverend Nichols, huh? Was that like Dr. Feelgood?
A first edition of Flaubert.
This town would make Frank Capra want to throw up.
Cool as ice, Hudson Hawk, and Electric Boogaloo. Oh, look at that. All three of us fine, just like the Judds. It is going to be a bad, depressing Lifetime movie, and Nancy McKeon will be playing me. I am Joe. 3 days of the Condor, Showa, and the Jerk. Hey, I'm going to spend the weekend with Patricia Krenwinkel, and I say, okay, grab a sweater. You just have to deal.
Who is Patricia Krenwinkel?
It's not like you get a car or a lifetime supply of Rice-A-Roni.
God, I love that stuff.
Who's going to help her get into Harvard?
Reese Witherspoon.
Pat Buchanan, Jerry Falwell, Kathy Lee Gifford.
One that looks like Shamu. What about the giant slinky? Nothing that came out of your mouth today might, in any universe visited by Kirk or Spock, be construed as constructive. When Dad was talking about the vase, you were pulling a full-on Tabitha.
I did not pull a Tabitha.
I did not pull a Tabitha.
This episode of Gilmore Girls brought to you by Rice-A-Roni.
And Pop-Tarts.
Yeah. I made a note of the Pop-Tarts mention. We should have like a counter for how many times they say Pop-Tarts. Mm-hmm. I should make a supercut of every time they mention Pop-Tarts in the show. It's literally like once an episode.
Yeah. Oh, is it really?
Yeah. Or every other. It's something cray like that.
The thing is, they never show the Pop-Tarts. They're just kind of like, I have Pop-Tarts.
Yeah.
There was a mention in this one for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like Maris and Frasier. The Pop-Tarts are just always off screen somewhere.
Did you see Maris like in the finale of Frasier?
I don't think so. I didn't watch the finale.
No, nobody made
alert.
It that far.
There's going to be one listener that's very mad I haven't listened to.
How about Vera on Cheers? Do you see her?
Vera, you don't. Vera, you see there's a Thanksgiving dinner and there's a food fight and then she gets a pie in the face.
Yes, I remember
that. And
then
she walks in, but you never see her.
Okay. Is it? Oh, so it's like they covered up her face with a pie.
Mm-hmm. Right. Just like Wilson's.
You do see Wilson at the end of Home Improvement.
You do?
I thought.
This is blowing my mind. I've seen like.
He looks
so...
like Bernard Herrmann, actually.
Really?
A lot.
That's strange.
Yeah. It's not him, but it looks like
Is he still alive? Not Bernard Herrmann. Wilson?
I don't think so.
Oh.
Wilson's alive. Why wouldn't he be alive?
I don't
I thought he died.
A very confident I don't think so. He was like 45 years old.
Yeah, but I don't know. In my head, he's one of the people that I watch Home Improvement. I'm just like, oh, sad, he's gone.
Oh, I don't think anyone involved with Home Improvement would be dead.
That's possible.
Except
maybe
for Tim Allard's integrity.
Yeah.
Tim Allard? Did I say Tim Allard?
You did say Tim Allard. Well, who's that?
some other guy that's
he
not
played Woodward on Toy Store.
I gotta say, as a big fan of Facts of Life growing up, not kidding, I really appreciated that Nancy McKee and Joe shout out.
I like that as well. I don't know if I could name all of them, but I've seen many episodes of Facts of Life.
Joe, Blair, Natalie,
Tootie. Damn it. I said one that I knew when I said
And Ann B. Davis as Alice.
What was... then they said, which was not on there, but what bothered me was they go, let's go do the bad movie marathon. We'll do Hudson Hawk, Cool as Ice, Electric Boogaloo.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, I'll get the Hawk, you get the Boogaloo. Who's getting the ice?
No one's getting vanilla ice gets left out in the cold.
Who's bringing
again.
The ice?
Ice out cold. I will say, I saw a midnight screening of Cool as Ice 2 years ago, and it was a transcendent experience.
I watched it as a Vanilla Ice fan when I was a kid,
when it
so
came
I
out.
Had a very different experience. I was like
equally transcendent, but in a different direction.
I saw it kind of like, well, obviously this will be the next step for Vanilla Ice, who I consider a very strong performer. To act in a feature film. And I wasn't let down because I was 11.
I would love to see Vanilla Ice
He's
now.
Not bad in it.
No.
I don't think he's terrible. He's
okay.
He's pretty good.
The movie itself has some problems, but
sure.
I wouldn't rest the blame squarely on his shoulders.
No, and we'll cover this in the Gilmore Guys movie club, of course.
Let me ask you this. Is he from the wrong side of the tracks?
Yeah, much like Jess. Pulling pranks.
Yeah.
Doing
bringing
magic.
It back. Segway.
The Netflix synopsis of this episode... His newly retired Richard is driving Emily crazy, so Lorelai agrees to take her father for a day in Stars Hollow, where he annoys both Lorelai and Rory. I don't think Rory got too
annoyed. No, Rory doesn't care.
Rory, yeah. I mean, he was giving it to Dean pretty hard at the end, but...
The only real interaction he has with Rory is when she reveals her books, and he's just kind of like, I should buy you a bookcase. But, like, speaking of that scene, why was she hiding her books, like...
Weird.
Yeah.
Do you think she was hiding them?
I mean, she probably wasn't hiding them.
I thought
them,
it was a storage issue.
She wasn't displaying them.
Yeah.
But I thought it was like she just ran out of shelf space.
Okay, that's fair.
Maybe, but it felt like she was hiding them like in case people stop by and they're like, if you have books, we'll kill you.
Well, maybe it's leverage. Maybe she has some first editions. So that could be, I don't know, good ransom money.
Although if the house burns down.
Or it gets eaten by termites.
Right. Reference previous episode.
Bringing it back. Oh my gosh.
I'm just going to keep slowly segueing into the Brody Stevens
until
impression.
Until we just are Brody Stevens.
One day.
So in the teaser of this, I mean, did we like this episode overall? Should we get that out of the way? As a first-time viewer, what was your impression of this crazy, crazy mixed-up world of Stars Hollow?
Well, my impression, first, the theme song was really bad.
You
unless
like
I'm the only one who thinks that. And I heard it four times in terms of like watching a little bit of a couple episodes.
Okay.
And I couldn't sing it to you now, which is bad for theme song.
Well, we got some bad news for you at the end.
Because we're going to.
Or some great news. We'll leave it.
Is it Carole King?
Carole King, one of the greatest songwriters of all time.
I had a very.
Sometimes.
Oh, burn.
We're going to get some notes about
King
that.
Burn.
it's not great, fellas.
You might find some poop on your doorstep.
All right.
What do you not like about this song, if I may ask?
Just, I think the fact that I couldn't hum a note of it or I remember what it was about or anything. And TV theme songs have to be quick and catchy and to the point.
Right. They got to be like jingles.
Me and my girls dancing in pajamas.
I really want to hear your... Yeah, that's... Yep.
Something like that.
Ooh,
I'm going to isolate that sound and make it my ringtone.
That Stone Cold Carole King classic, Me and My Girls Dancing in Our Pajamas.
In parentheses, dancing in our pajamas.
Oh, of course, yeah. I mean, the song is Me and My Girls. That's how everyone requests it at the jukebox. Oh, boy.
So I didn't like the theme song. The episode itself, do they normally devote that much time to relationship, intense relationship dramas between like two old characters?
I think often a lot
of the shows,
because I think that was my favorite part, and it was almost like a short story that I really loved, was the him kind of being annoying but not like an asshole,
right?
And then at the end I was like, is he gonna kill himself when he goes up to the study?
That's what I thought too.
I didn't actually think
is he gonna kill himself, but he was like, I guess it's time to finally get those stamps in order, and then he walks away and just sits in the study. I was like, oh no, there's gonna be like a noose there or something.
Yeah, and like
kind of framing, I don't know,
that for that to be the final scene,
mm-hmm.
you know, of the episode that is devoted to, you know, I assume at the time young people, it was WB.
Yeah.
So that's like they devote a lot of screen time to it. Their first discussion, the old couple, about like what they're going to do that day, I thought was like amazingly well written.
Mm-hmm.
And then just the ending of it, it's depressing, but then you think you would cut back to one of the Gilmore Girls
and end the A story. Yeah.
But they just end with him miserable in a study,
sinking
deeper into a leather chair.
It is so hardcore on a level I respect so much. Just imagine it's 2002 and you're a 14-year-old girl and you're like, I love this show. They talk so fast. They love coffee. And then you're seeing this like really thought-provoking, beautifully played drama about like communication issues between generations, which ends with him like nearly crying in his own study.
Yeah. Some like death of a salesman shit at the end there.
Oh, he,
like,
very much.
Totally.
So.
And he looks like and reminds me of, mm-hmm. in this one episode, my father, not in a great way, but because everyone used to say, that guy looks exactly like your dad, Bernard Herrmann.
Oh, Edward Herrmann.
Edward Herrmann. Bernard Herrmann wrote the music for Hitchcock's movie.
That's true, yeah.
I apologize.
That's Bernard Herrmann.
Yeah, he just like looks like my dad. People used to say Richie Rich's dad looks exactly like your dad.
Mm-hmm.
Who is that
dude?
Oh,
that's funny. Yeah.
Is he in every episode, that guy?
He's not in every episode.
He's listed as special appearances by in the credits.
Mm-hmm.
Probably as a contingency, just like, we want you in every episode, but we know you can't be.
Yeah, right. He pretty much struck a deal where he could like fly into town every couple months, shoot a few episodes, fly back to the East Coast where he resides. And he was talking about, there's actually, because we did a tribute episode of him because he passed away.
Right.
A couple weeks ago, there is a great article I want to direct everyone to on the AV Club. I think it's called Random Roles.
Oh, I love that article. That's my favorite thing they do, actually.
Yeah, and because he's very candid, too.
Yeah.
And most of the people they interview are about like, so this was kind of this. I didn't enjoy this. I love this. And what he talks about Gilmore Girls and like the kind of sweet deal he got to strike that he didn't get to do again, really, in any TV show or TV show before. It's a really great article. So everyone go. We'll post it on our Twitter. It's Edward Herrmann, Random Roles on AV Club. I love that ending. Just this whole arc of the show. Again, like you said, Patrick, he's not being a dick per se. It's a communication issue. It all comes from a place of care.
Yeah.
But just because he's from such a different generation and he did things this particular way, it just comes off totally different.
And he had points, too. Like, it's not like usually in these kind of shows where he'd be like, chewing her out over the most ridiculous thing imaginable. Like, her saying, I'm going to have sex with you, to the guy who brings her towels is probably a little forward and not quite a business relationship. And I was just kind of like, all right, I see both sides, which most shows never do. You're always completely 100% on one person's side.
Yeah, and it's not...
So I like that a lot.
It's not
well.
A straw man argument that he's making. There's like, yeah, legit points.
Yeah, if you're making a business call, maybe you don't say, I'm going to... whatever
bone
she
you.
Said, bone
yeah.
you. Is she?
What
now,
did
that's
she say?
I have no idea what she said, but I don't think it was. I'm gonna bone you, Manuel.
I think it was towel down your balls.
Your balls.
Your balls.
That was kind of her catchphrase in this second season.
I remember in 2004, you couldn't go anywhere without seeing a your balls shirt.
I'm gonna towel down your balls, and it's just Lorelai with a. Let's not request fan art for this.
With the pull string.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So, that particular scene reminded me a lot of my dad because sometimes he will say to me, like, is this how you dress to work? And I'll be like, yeah, I dress pretty casually at work. And he's like, you don't wear like button up shirt or anything. And I try to be like, well, that's not how really the office works. But he kind of insists on being that way. And I understand it. But from the same point of view, it's so hard to get across the idea that there's not like there are certain things that just aren't important in certain workplaces anymore, and I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. And guys, I got to third it because he reminds me of my dad in this episode.
he's an every dad.
He's an every dad.
This is just us working out our father issues at this point.
The father issue episode.
Well, because and he didn't remind me of my dad in like maybe the points you guys were. He doesn't look like my dad, and he doesn't like. My dad's pretty chill in terms of like dress this way, don't dress this way. But in the moment where it was so well played, and for the show that's so based on like don't have any silence whatsoever, in terms of the dialogue, although that kind of goes away later on, and there are more spaces. But when he comes over for the first time, and it's just like, and it's not even like TV awkward, like it's like. Okay, so what do we... And it's just like two humans who do love each other trying to communicate.
Right.
Yeah. And that stuff that... Well, maybe it's just... I can't say dad's, but my dad certainly does too, where it'll be like, okay, we'll meet here for breakfast, and he shows up and has already eaten or something, which are like weird little power plays, I think. That, again, I was just like very surprised by how many of those little details were in the show because they kind of have to... go really into those tiny issues because at least currently there don't seem to be huge issues like one of them gets attacked in the street or something like that.
True.
They have to keep all these, you know, an hour of television is a lot to talk about, especially if you don't have huge story points going on, which unless it happens later, Gilmore Girls did not seem to have huge stories.
There's not a lot of gunfights on in Stars Hollow.
Right. Which, I mean, means you got to dig into those little moments or else your show becomes extremely boring. And I thought that's what they did a great job of.
Yeah, they really nailed the realism in the scenes where they're just sitting there and it's like silence, and it made me feel uncomfortable as someone watching it.
Yeah,
and I think that's one of the reasons I didn't like this episode because it was too real.
Oh, you didn't like it?
I didn't not like it. I just
didn't enjoy it. Maybe you appreciate it on an academic level.
Yes,
but.
I think I didn't. Maybe the last 20 minutes is the first part where I was just like, okay, I'm in it now, and it took way too long for me to get there. But like, there's just so much happening, and it seems like there's not. Which made me very uncomfortable. And the scene where they are splitting the newspaper in half is, it just made me cringe.
Well, luckily they wanted different sections, though.
Yeah.
It worked out.
It would have been if they wanted the same one.
That was the most successful part of the show. And then I did like seeing finally the car coming to fruition. The car storyline, Dean was building Rory car.
Well, that came out of nowhere to me. I thought.
Oh, it was set up.
It's real weird that this guy has made her a car.
Yeah.
Because I'd never seen him before.
Yeah. It was set up before. Did you like Dean? What was your impression of him?
Is that Jared Padalecki?
Yeah. Padalecki, yeah.
Who follows me on Vine?
Ooh. Is Jared Padalecki a big Viner?
He does. He's a big Reviner.
Okay.
That's how, Yeah, that was cool because I didn't know who he was, but I knew that I was supposed to know who he was. And then when I saw him in the show, I was like, I know who that is now.
Yeah.
And that was kind of cool.
It's just a little baby, but he still has the same haircut.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I liked him. I think that much more charming, at least in this initial visit with them both, was Milo Ventimiglia.
Ooh.
Wasn't he?
Milo Ventim Lady Gaga?
Miglia.
Miglia Lady Gaga.
Mahatma Gandhi Gaguga.
M. Night Shyamalan. He was only in this for one scene, right?
He had two. No. He was.
When he shows up and Paris is doing the investigation, which we have to get to. Because
oh, please.
I love that.
Yes. Well,
and he shows up and then she's like, hey, I'll give you a. egg roll if you blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, outside of the video store. Yeah.
He ruined the goodwill that he had from the first scene with that second scene.
Yeah, I did. You know what? Let's be real, because we get a lot of hate for not being Team Jess all the way. I did like that first moment where he's like, he complaining that Luke's running a child human trafficking ring.
I thought it was funny. And then, so Jess does this thing where Rory complains very lightly about something, just like as you would in a conversation. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, okay, I'll fix it. And he just like breaks something. And I'm just like, I just want to tell him to calm down and to stop doing this for a girl that doesn't like him.
Yes. Were they implying that he was sending home adult videos in the boxes for the others?
Yeah, absolutely. So. I think the idea is...
Why? Like, that's hurting the kids. That's not hurting
that's not
the
hurting
man.
Anybody.
Yeah. They're just going to be like, oh, I guess we can't sell Babe anymore.
Yeah, because there's a giant dick frame in the middle of your... That'll do big dick. That'll do...
Well, in fairness, it was Babe's.
Oh. I think it was read Dumbo, the box actually. It was...
Oh, no, in the movie. Yeah. I mean, in Gilmore Girls, yeah, for sure. It was Dumbo and Cinderella or something like that.
Yeah. Did you like that scene where...
The two kids are looking at showgirls?
And jerking it?
Well, I...
They're not jerking it.
They're touching it.
Did I?
Oh, they are.
I used to do that, and I related very strongly to that as well. A, it made me miss video stores in a big way.
Oh, right.
And I actually hate having the freedom to watch whatever you want. But when I was a boy... I used to be obsessed with movies but couldn't see R-rated movies till I was 17.
Do you remember what your first R-rated movie was?
My first R-rated movie in a theater was Die Hard with a Vengeance, which was great.
Yeah, that's not a bad one.
I had to prove to my father that there was no nudity in something for me to see it, or sex, which is a very healthy way to
grow
up.
How do you prove that?
And it's really helped my sex life.
Well, let's go watch it.
That's true.
But I used to not sneak out like Boogie Nights or something like that, mm-hmm. which are not something with a high sex content in it to watch it and pleasure myself to.
Mm-hmm.
But I would rent like Goodfellas or something that I really always wanted to see, or like some classic movie that happened to be rated R.
Yeah.
So I would sneak them out all the time in the Tucker the Man and His Dream box because I figured no one would ever rent Tucker the Man and His Dream. And then I switched the barcodes. Tucker the Man and His Dream is with Jeff Bridges, and he's like a competitor to Henry Ford.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredibly boring. So I would slip an R-rated movie in Tucker, switch the tags, and then everyone just thought I was obsessed with the movie Tucker the Man and His Dream because I rented it all the time.
Tucker the Man and His Dream, 17 times this month.
For the 29th time this year.
Yeah, but that's how I saw all these R-rated movies. So I related to those children, and...
They needed a Rory curtain where you were.
They needed a Rory curtain, exactly.
Can you believe that they put a framed picture of her? That was the funniest thing.
That was
to
the
me.
Craziest thing.
I laughed so hard at that. Just because it's this weird photo that looks like someone was like, Rory, smile quick. And like took a picture.
Yeah, it was like a drive-by.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Was the blonde who's like.
Paris.
Is she a regular?
She's a reg, yeah.
I thought she was very funny.
I think she's hilarious. She's like very quick-witted and. Bitter a lot.
Yeah, she has one of the most unique comic timings. Definitely on the show, but like, yeah.
The what is that, Mr. Feelgood sort of thing was very.
Is that
funny.
Supposed to be like Dr. Feelgood? Yeah. I can't do it. I just end up sounding like Ivory Glass.
Yeah, yeah.
And I like when she was like, "Our competitors aren't the Blueberry Elementary Times. Our competitors are the New York Times."
Yeah, it got really real, really.
Yeah, that was the scene that made me realize how. Because you get a sense with Paris that, like, oh, she's crazy. Ha, ha, ha. But when she says our competitors in the New York Times, I'm like, oh, she's very, very, like, academically. She's like, she wants to be a genius. She doesn't just want to be the best person in school. She wants to be the best person, period.
Alive. Right?
And, yeah, and it's insane to me.
I realize this when I watch it. I walk through Stars Hollow every day at my job.
Wow.
Dude.
It's still on the WB lot, and they redress it for other shows, but it's essentially still up and functional because tours go through it.
Is there a Luke's there still? I bet not.
I know now to look for it. I wouldn't have known a week ago, but yeah. I'll look for it.
I wonder if Miss Patty's dance studio is still there, too.
Hello, Sailor.
Hello, Sailor.
What's Miss Patty's deal? That was the Hispanic lady?
Yeah.
What was her deal?
She's horny.
that's really it. She runs a dance studio.
I saw you with that hunk of man at the end, right? Or is that at the pilot? I might get them mixed up.
That might have been the pilot.
Oh, okay. Sorry, it was the pilot.
Miss Patty's whole deal is essentially she runs a dance studio, but her character, her personality is she's kind and she's horny.
Okay.
Yeah.
And she's always trying to hook Lorelai up.
Yeah.
Try a plum. They're better than sex.
Yeah.
She has so many. We have so many sound clips of her just saying things to like children. Just be like, who wants to hear the story about a time I danced in a cage with Tito Puente?
Me.
Yeah, and the kids all just like raise their hand, like, yeah, hell yeah, I love Tito Puente.
We're going all over the place. That's fine. One of my favorite parts of the show, I think, was, and I know a lot of people hate Dean, but gosh, that scene with him and Richard was really good.
It was very good.
Like, Dean is Padalecki?
Yeah.
Okay.
And when they go to Gypsy's, which Gypsy's great. This is the first appearance of Gypsy, I believe, on the show.
She's back?
Oh, yeah. She's a townie, man.
Terrific.
Yeah.
I was baffled by her. I didn't know if these people were always in the show or what, but she's like... What was her? She's a mechanic assistant.
Hey, you want your car fixed? I fix your car. What is that accent? Actually, I'm not sure.
I don't know.
It's definitely Hispanic.
It is just Hispanic.
Yeah.
Okay.
Of some sort.
You know what's funny about that? She doesn't have that accent naturally. She had an arc on Parenthood, which was really good.
Wait, she doesn't have that accent naturally?
No.
Okay, she's a recurring character on That's So Raven. I swear to God, she does the same voice.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, why do you know? You gotta tell
Richard. Because I was once 10 years old and That's So Raven was on the television.
And you know what? It was.
Yeah.
So Raven. but no, I believe she. Or I might have that wrong. I don't remember her having that accent on Parenthood.
If she doesn't, that's very funny. She just gets cash. She's like, no, do that. Do the voice. Do the voice from Gilmore.
Anyway,
Girls.
I might be dumb, guys. I might just. Check it and cut it out.
Nah.
But we love Gypsy.
I love that she just breaks the windshield wipers just to be like, get the fuck out of my...
Commits a crime.
Yeah.
I'm
and
done.
And then immediately admits to it.
Yeah, no, she's not a very good criminal.
What was their line in that scene? It was, how tall are you? Why is Richard so obsessed with how tall everyone is?
Oh, is he?
Well, his first line, Rory, you're tall. That's in the pilot. And then I think he comments on someone's height. In another episode as
well. He's a tall man himself. He shouldn't be paranoid about it.
Mm, it's true. So maybe he just like wants everyone to be more like
maybe,
him.
Maybe, yeah, when he feels
people... tower over everyone.
When he feels people getting closer, just like, how tall are you? Okay, I'm still tall.
tall, baby.
Baby.
The exact words were,
how tall are you? Why? You want to dance? No, thank you. Appreciate the offer, though.
Yeah. That was great.
And that was
loved
they kind of connected in that because you saw him smirk a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Padalecki and Ventimiglia are competing for her affections throughout the show?
Yeah, you know, especially in the next episode.
It's weird. Jess,
I'm going to watch him.
Are you actually?
I'm going to watch him.
Yay.
Jess doesn't want to admit that he's just trying to woo her, but like... He is, and he's doing, as an outsider, I feel like if I were in this world, I'd be like, you're an asshole,
it's
stop.
Such a bullshit move, man.
Yeah.
Because it is so manipulative. And
a few episodes ago, they were in a snowman competition. They built this shitty snowman, and then this guy builds, like, a perfect recreation of Ebenezer Scrooge.
Uh-huh.
And Jess is just like, oh, don't worry, I'll make sure you guys win. And he just demolishes their snowman. And I feel so bad for the guy.
He's doing, like, the kindergarten thing of, being mean to...
Well, he's not mean to Roy. Yeah. I guess that would be more the kindergarten
thing. Like, snooty to Rory.
He just destroys everything around him.
He's supposed to be the bad boy.
The bad boy street magician.
Okay.
He loves close-up magic.
He does a lot of close-up magic on the show.
Okay.
Or at least a little bit. Oh, man.
Do they close in on his hand so you can tell it's a double, or do you see him do it?
No, he does it.
Well, then sounds like he probably went to the producers and was like, fellas.
How can we work this in? Listen.
Yeah. I'm trying to get girls here. Put me on the show doing my magic.
I've been working on the streets of New York as Magic Milo for 10 years.
Look, I got offers from Heroes, all right? I'm going to go to Heroes pretty soon. They'll let me do magic there.
He is going to go to Heroes pretty soon. What I did like, you touched upon the scene where Richard and Emily are talking about the, their day. Oh, I'm going to do this. Oh, I'll go with you. After that, I'm going to this. And she mentions water aerobics.
Yeah.
So she's going to that, which again... I couldn't help but think of Lucille Bluth, who also does water aerobics.
And Buster doing a cannonball.
I'd like to think that they're in the same class.
Oh.
I would love to see in the back of the scene of her doing water aerobics, Kelly Bishop just happening to be there.
That'd be amazing.
Where is Stars Hollow? Is it like Springfield?
Connecticut.
Oh, Connecticut. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I wish. I wish it were just like some
magical town.
Yeah.
Have you discussed what that even means? What that phrase means?
Stars Hollow?
It's just two words that don't match up at all.
Yeah.
Stars. Hollow.
I mean, Hollow.
Well, Hollow can be like the crick or something, right?
Yeah.
Like a part of town.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that's fine. Then.
Yo. Oh, okay. Yeah. Like the
it's
crick.
Not like hollowed out stars.
No.
All right.
That's kind of mind blowing, though, to think about.
That's what I do.
Hollowed out. Wow. Thank
come
you.
In, I sit down, I blow mines, I go home.
Oh, Patrick just left.
I guess I can reassemble my mind now.
He went home.
Yeah.
Should we get into the fashion report real quick?
We should. There's a lot to talk about.
All right. Fashion. Cool. So, at least in the first scene, Richard is
always
wearing...
Sorry. I always just love to look over at our guests when we do that. Just like, wait, what the fuck just happened?
So steady, Pat.
Richard is wearing too much tan.
I actually made the note that he's wearing a ton of beige, and I love it.
You love it?
I like it because he kind of blends into himself.
It's a metaphor.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if I just don't like too much tan in general.
I don't either, but I think, I don't know, maybe for someone like Richard, like, tan is a bright color, because he always just wears the same, like, suits.
I'm going to live it up today.
Yeah.
On a lot of tan.
Is that an HD thing? Like, they update to HD, and then you can see shitty makeup jobs better?
Well, they did update to, because it was shot in 4:3, so it was, you know, just like the square TV aspect ratio.
Right.
When they put on Netflix, you do see... It is the first time it is in HD, I think, on all platforms and for all seasons. And it's the first time it's widescreen as well.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, you can probably notice stuff that's shitty better.
I just watched Back to the Future on Blu-ray for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And the makeup looks really bad, to be honest. And that's a movie I consider pretty much perfect.
Right.
But, like, Doc Brown in particular, when they're aging him in the mall, in the big, or, you know, when they age him, he's got, like... 8 giant brown wrinkle lines down his neck.
Really?
And it looks awful. And I never would have noticed that before, but it's too clear.
It's the HD. For like the,
yeah, exactly. It's too clear, and it makes you notice all this terrible work these people did, apparently. Or else they just thought it'll look, you know, you see it projected, you don't notice the bad makeup, you move on.
And I wonder if even in that time they're thinking like, oh, this will definitely be... watched on video and in as good a quality as we project it for generations.
VHS future. We're here. We did it.
And well, even Back to the Future 2 has notoriously bad makeup anyway.
Yeah. Mm.
So that could look just completely ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. I got off on this tangent.
No. No. This is our Back to the Future Buddies podcast.
Oh,
back to the buddies.
Back to the buddies.
It's kind of questionable wording. We do reference it a lot, like Richard Gilmore's origin story.
Back to the Future?
Remember, it's your brother.
Oh, yeah.
David Gilmore from Pink Floyd.
It's your brother, Marvin Gilmore.
Yeah. There was that. There was Lorelai's dumb ruffle shirt coming back. Like
she
tuxedo.
Looks like Prince.
She does.
I loved it.
She totally does.
That's the only piece, because you said watch for clothing. That's the only piece of clothing I found even remotely objectionable.
The ruffles?
Yeah, I just was like, what's going on here?
She wears ruffles a lot, but at the same time, there are some shirts that I don't generally see out of place unless I'm looking for them. Like, mm-hmm. Rory at the very beginning is wearing this shirt that just has leaves all over it. And it looks like...
I didn't notice that.
Like, if she were wearing, like, a Bob Marley hat, I'd be like, what a fucking stoner. But they're just regular leaves. Like, and it's so weird.
It's amazing.
Maybe it was autumn.
Maybe it was autumn.
I want to make 2 hair points right now. Richard's hair looks great in this
really?
Episode. I think it looks nice
great.
And full. I think, but I don't know if it was just off looking at his head more than you usually do in the average episode.
I think you see him more, so you're just like, oh, this guy.
Yeah, his hair looked awesome. Richard. And Jess's camouflage shirt.
It's the only, like, he shows up for such a little time that I was just like, let it go. But at the same time, I was like, why is he wearing this? He came down from the apartment.
From the sex dungeon.
From the sex dungeon, and he had to hide.
Yeah. And then at one point, it looks, I think Lorelai is wearing a pair of pants that have, like, stripes on the butt. Or checkers, or some weird pattern that's like, it's not like juicy or anything.
Is it like ska? She joined a ska band?
Yeah, her and Maury joined a ska band. She joined Maury's ska band. I thought I had another hair point, but I think that's actually the next episode, which we'll get to. Although Richard does button up his collar at one point so much that he looks like a priest. I think it's when they're in the diner at Luke's.
I really liked, I think anytime Richard wears anything that isn't just black, he looks nice in it.
Yeah.
Or I like it. He was wearing this like gray jacket over a black shirt, and it was like my first note was like, "You look really good, Richard," even though it was still very boring. Like,
mm-hmm.
You guys really get into these episodes.
We try.
We gotta.
We have to. I mean, we owe it to the show.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking about, dude. Is even this is a little off topic, but for season 7, it's like, are we gonna do this for every episode? Like, are we gonna devote this much energy into discussing this probably crappy show? Because in season 7, the creators leave.
Right.
Amy and Dan leave.
Where did they go? They made that Parker Posey show.
They did. And
the
then
Adventures of Pepper Peep and Pop.
Jezebel James.
The Jezebel return James. Of Jezebel James.
Oh, was that it?
I believe.
Was that respected?
No, it got canceled.
It got canceled. Yeah. The multicam format didn't work for.
We
got to
do a Jezebel James. Pals.
Well, you know you're going to get into that. Like, if this podcast at some point you're doing 2 a week, you're blowing through them.
Yeah.
You're going to be taking side jaunts into like the other works of the Paladinos.
Oh, we are.
Et cetera.
Bunhead Bros is already.
Yeah, we're doing Bunheads after that.
That's 100% for
Was
sure.
Was Bunheads good?
Yeah.
Okay.
It doesn't have the classic stats that Gilmore Girls has, and it took a little bit more for it to find their feet. On point. But once they do, sorry, but once they do, it's a really great show,
all right,
I think.
Fine.
I think that's it for the fashion report.
Fashion.
That was a good fashion report.
It was.
And any other stories? I mean, because it was so centered. I don't even remember the B and the C stories. I do like that Kirk. We need to have a Kirk job count. So the guy that you saw.
At the video store.
Yeah. His name's Kirk. He's a recurring townie. And he has every job imaginable.
They just don't cast other people. And they're just like, you do this one, Sean.
Which is great. Again, it's that community theater feeling that I really like.
Yeah.
Or could that be a joke that they knew what they were doing?
I think it is a joke, but at the same time.
It pays off in a big way, actually, in season 5 or 6. It pays off in a big way.
It definitely didn't start off as a joke because in the first 2 episodes or something, he is a cable installer and his name is Mick.
Oh,
so they just kind of change his name.
So they do kind of retcon it a little bit.
Yeah.
They do that on Sopranos a few times where somebody will be like, you know, some guy's in line at a bakery and he's like, hey, where's my cannoli? And then like six seasons later, he's like the head of one of the families. Because they were like, wait a minute, that guy was really good. There's only so many of these type of actors.
Right.
It's true, yeah.
So they do that several times in Sopranos where like a huge role, like Adriana, you see her as a hostess. In like episode 4 or something. She's like, right this way, Mr. Soprano. Then she becomes like one of the main leads of the show. It's crazy.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Some shows do that, and I can't tell if it's ever on purpose because I feel like obviously the actors are really good, but are they like the only people who could do it? I don't know.
You'd be surprised.
Hmm.
I mean, casting a show, you see 20 people for every part, and the one you hire is usually like it.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
Sorry, actors. But like, I mean, man,
it's a smaller pool than you imagine.
It's a much it's a huge pool.
Well, it's a huge pool, but it's a smaller.
The talent drop of the pool is small.
Mm.
Sorry, everybody, that was mean to say.
So as an encouragement, I don't think it's
mean. Look, if you don't make it, it's because you suck.
Yeah. Yeah.
Put my name under that quote, please. My new motivational tape.
Someone's gonna cross stitch that onto something.
I wish. Can we get some Gilmore Girls or Gilmore Guys cross stitches going? Anybody?
Yeah, come on.
I'm just like requesting goods and services. It's not like this fan art would be cool. It's like, hey, can you make me a cross stitch?
Hey, someone out there, compose a symphony based on this episode.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Auraframes.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Auraframe.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Auraframes are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Auraframe, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt. Mm-hmm. So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
This episode is brought to you by Squarespace. Oh, Squarespace, my Squarespace, how I love thee, how I've loved and used thee for 10 years now. Literally every website I've made on the internet, I've made using Squarespace. Websites off the internet, I don't use Squarespace because those websites don't exist, because how could it not be on the internet? But listen, for whatever you need your website to be, a cool idea, a new business, a new podcast perhaps, a new matchmaking service, a home goods store, whatever your idea is, you can make it happen with Squarespace. They got so many features like Squarespace AI. You can kickstart or update written content on any website, product description, or email with Squarespace AI. It generates instant personalized results that know and show your brand identity. You can sell content. You can sell exclusive content on your site by adding a paywall to sell memberships or courses if that's what you're into. And of course, you got analytics, so you can know who's coming from where, what the demographic is, and how best to super serve them. I've used Squarespace for so many needs, from stupid jokes for this very podcast to serious things like my own landing page, so I could get briefly verified on social media and then have that verification revoked. But it doesn't matter, I'm still happy with my splash page, and it wouldn't be half as nice looking without Squarespace. So right now, check out squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/Gilmore Guys to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. That's squarespace.com/Gilmore Guys. That'd be amazing. So as far as like, just getting to the meat of it, like the Richard and Lorelai conflict goes, it is a communication issue, but Lorelai is acting like a damn baby.
Do you think so?
For a lot of it. When she's like, Rory, come home. I don't know what to do.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That shit's no good.
Was too much.
But,
yeah.
I mean, but it does get very overwhelming. When you have a parent in town, it's like you need some help, some backup. I often need, hey, my friend's going to come along or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it just helps the whole dynamic because you can talk about things that you both know. You know, you involve this other person, that person. And also you can't be assholes to each other. Because there's a third party sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought she was being reasonable. She wants her daughter there to take some of the heat of an intense parental interaction.
I think her intentions are reasonable. I don't think the way that she
the execution of such
intentions.
But
that's just Lorelai.
Yeah.
She's always just kind of childish. She's like, Rory, please, come
like
on.
Like Gambino.
It's all that coffee.
coffee cranking through her sis.
By the way,
that's mentioned too much. We can all agree, right?
Coffee?
Her love of coffee?
It's mentioned a lot in the show, but in this particular episode, Richard is like Rain Man about their coffee consumption.
That's,
like,
yes,
I thought that was funny though.
I thought it was funny, and then when he does it again for Lorelai, I was kind of just like, "Oh, you! This is what you're doing now." Does Richard not know about like DVDs or something? Like, can he just watch another movie or watch some movies in his retirement?
I don't think so.
I can't wait.
This is before they had Scrabble.
I'm already ready to retire and not do shit.
He also says that's a lot of coffee to drink early in the day. Which is absurd.
That's the time you drink
coffee. You could say it's a lot of coffee to drink late at night.
Right.
So I wonder if that's supposed to be absurd then.
Maybe.
That they were trying to paint him as an absurd character in that moment. And it is so funny how her and her mom are very similar in that moment. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Again, and there's a very subtle thing, because this is the episode where in the teaser they're talking about the mausoleum, right?
That was funny. Yeah,
that's
funny.
So there's that point where...
she's very Jason Bateman-y as well, now that you're mentioning the parallel. When she's like, when her parents are off talking crazy, then her little quips to no one are very like Bateman-ish.
That's true.
Maybe there was an influence.
And Rory is a lot like Michael Cera.
That is true.
Wow. I mean, yeah.
That's kind of.
Rory does love her cousin Jess.
That's a spoiler.
Is it?
No, it's not.
I was like, what?
It's about to get real freaky on this show. It's not. But during that conversation where they're like, yeah, Cecile's a bitch or whatever Emily says, where she's like, don't bury her in the
mausoleum. She makes awful jokes.
Yeah. And then Richard comes down and says, oh, Cecile, horrible woman.
Yeah.
And then at that moment, I'm about to do a visual thing, but what Emily and Lorelai do is they both go,
yeah.
I just made a gesture in the room for those listening, like a there you go, like a like putting one arm up, and it wasn't as on the nose as it was in the Bracebridge dinner where they're literally like doing a choreographed dance, but it was just basically, I wonder if that was an actor thing or a director thing. I'm very curious as to like how that moment came to be.
I feel like maybe it was like Emily did it just naturally, mm-hmm. and then maybe there was like, oh, Lorelai, you do that too.
Yeah.
They probably call each other by their character names, too, as opposed to their legal names.
Hey, Emily, do this. Yeah. Maid count, we have Grazia. What was her name in this episode?
The
maid.
I don't know.
There's a new maid. There's a new maid basically every episode.
Literally every episode.
That's the joke, is these privileged people keep firing the maids. So who do you think was right in this?
Between
Richard and Lorelai. Or is there even a right or wrong? I guess let's break it down that way.
There isn't really, but I was more on Lorelai's side, as just because Richard, I felt like I was just like, occupy your time doing something, you know? I don't know.
Yeah.
I was also more on Lorelai's side, but then at the end when he says, you've never invited me to your home, I was like, well, shit, that's not cool.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
That kind of reversed it a little bit for me.
Although, didn't they invite them for Rory's birthday party last season?
Oh.
I don't think that's the same thing. I think he's saying like
just as a guest.
Yeah.
Just like, hey, come hang out. And that did hit hard. It truly did.
Yeah.
Hit me
the
right
obsolete
here.
thing, the line about like, now I know what it's like to feel obsolete. I was like, oh, that's awful. And that's when I was like, oh, he's definitely going to kill himself. They've got five seasons to go, and Richard's a ghost for all of them.
Such a good ending. I mean, and that's very what good. Really sealed it for me as an A-plus app.
But your 13-year-old girls, who I would have to imagine are obsessed with Gilmore Girls when it's airing,
mm-hmm.
it's like you were saying earlier, what do they go into school the day after that one and talk about?
Yeah.
There's nothing where it was like, oh, maybe that cute guy gave her a car or something. That's like a, you know, a WB kind of story.
Yeah.
But everything else, it's like, I can't imagine teenagers talking about that as though it's like, was fun for them to watch.
Right. It's like, did you see Gilmore Girls last night? Yeah.
Yeah.
It reminded me of my issues with my father.
Right. I got to call my dad.
Yeah. You live with strange. Your dad. You're 13.
Yeah. Still got to call him.
Was this same time as Dawson's?
Yeah.
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 I love Dawson's.
They were on for the same time for a little bit, I believe.
Okay.
You remember that was Dawson's four Creek theme song?
I guess not.
Was I don't want to wait.
That's right. Of course. Then of course I did.
I don't
want to
wait.
Melissa McCarthy sometimes pops in. Thanks, Melissa.
She didn't remember the last part.
I want to know right now, what will it be?
What will it be?
Yeah.
Oh, will it be? There it is. Did Melissa ever come on Two Broke Girls?
McCarthy?
Yeah.
No.
I know you guys are all in the CBS family, so yeah, you guys all know each other.
Their writers' offices are across from ours, and their sets are across from ours.
Okay.
You guys throw paper airplanes in each other's windows.
It's not as much fun as you'd think.
Oh. Oh.
There aren't the hijinks of the coked out 80s anymore.
Damn.
Yeah.
Like to hear about those
hijinks. You know, like the head writer of ALF giving the head writer of Bosom Buddies a wedgie.
Does that happen?
Those days are gone.
Those days were there for a bit. I wonder how much the culture has evolved in terms of like writers' rooms and stuff. I'm particularly curious to the culture of this writers' room for Gilmore Girls.
Oh, sure.
I can't imagine.
Do you know anyone? I'm sorry, go ahead, Timmy.
No, I can't imagine multiple people writing on the show, period. Although, because, I mean, we talk about how much control Amy Sherman-Bandito has over the show so much. I just imagine it like Sorkin,
mm-hmm.
where it's just like she writes it and then like other people have to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes that's how it is somebody in charge will basically write all the scripts.
Mm-hmm.
And then other people just get their names on it because it's like a writer's guild thing to do.
Right.
That could be the situation here, because it sounds like they're all written in exactly the same style.
Right.
That's difficult to mimic, right?
It's very difficult, I would say.
There are strong episodes and weak episodes that are attributed to different people, like how some people think that her husband writes a lot of the bad episodes.
Right.
Probably what it is that everybody took a draft,
mm-hmm.
and then she completely rewrote it.
Right.
And then it was to different degrees. You know, like, this might be a page one, this might be, I'll punch up some things.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably what happened. I don't know.
Can't wait to ask her about it. Do you know anyone who worked on the show ever, on Gilmore Girls?
I
know and did a pilot for Gavin Pallone.
Yeah.
Who is the executive producer of Gilmore Girls, mm-hmm. but we never discussed it. He also produced Zombieland and a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
But and he's also Conan's and Larry David's manager, so he's like incredibly wealthy because he gets 10% of Larry David money and 10% of Conan money.
Damn.
But he was a great guy, a great businessman, but very much like a dude, like a man's man. And I wonder what he saw in Gilmore Girls.
Well, Lewis Peitzman actually broke it down for us because he said after seeing Drop Dead Gorgeous, it's a great movie.
Yeah.
He wanted to do a TV show about a mother-daughter dynamic that was more like friendship. And so that's where it came from.
That's what Gavin Pallone wanted to do?
Yeah, I believe. Wasn't it Gavin Pallone? I might be getting this totally wrong. No, I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
He's talking about Gavin. Yeah.
I thought surely I'd be the only person to mention Gavin Pallone's involvement.
Look, everyone comes on the show and they can't stop talking about Gavin Pallone.
Yeah. Well, Gavin's not Gavin. That's the segment we're going to do.
See the theme song for Gavin Buck? I'm kidding.
Here, let's hear. You know what? Let's just take a moment because.
Because what?
Because. I mean, this is a show about family relationships.
Oh, no.
It's a show about difficulties of communication. And Patrick.
What?
Demi.
Oh.
Let's take this moment to speak to our fathers.
Oh, my God.
Are you calling my dad?
No. Let's just speak right now as if we were talking to our fathers.
Oh, my God.
But they're alive, right?
Yeah. Did you kill my father?
Is this some sick reveal coming?
Yeah.
I've locked the door.
What is Jerry Springer doing here?
No, I just wanted a touching song. This is the first one that came to mind. So we'll just have this playing in the background. We'll just go around the horn and say what we want to say to our dads.
Hey, Dad. I'm going to call you after this episode just to make sure you're still alive. I don't know what Kevin's doing. Hope you're doing all right. I know you started a new job. Hope you're doing okay. I know you had to go to Maine. Good seeing you a few weeks ago. Cool. Bye.
Patrick.
Dad, I wish that you had let me watch R-rated movies when I was a boy, so I wouldn't have had to sneak around. I feel that you overreacted when I did that April Fool's Day prank where I loosened the lid of the salt shaker and all the salt dumped into your lap and onto the plate, and you got what I would consider unreasonably angry with me and told me that pranks are never funny and that you shouldn't do them and that they can be very dangerous. And I was like, holy shit, it's April Fool's Day. I'm a little kid. Why are you doing this? And you just kept yelling and yelling. Now I know you had anger issues and continue to struggle with them, but at the time it was very scary and I thought unnecessary. That's my
dad. I miss you. Every day I think about you. He's alive, it's okay.
Oh my God!
Every day I think about you and I think, I'm sorry I'm not more into sports like Kyle is and Casey is. It's my brother and sister.
I assume.
I'm glad we connect on the things we do.
I will remember.
But at the same time, I hope that in the future we can connect even more.
Will you remember me?
Don't let your dad pass you by.
This is the part of the podcast where people just skip right through.
The memories.
So if Lorelai could have had a conversation like that with Richard, I feel like a lot of this conflict could have been solved.
Right. Lorelai should have just had a needle drop. Just like, Dad, you need to hear something.
I probably should have said something nice about my dad when I talked to him.
No. No, we're
all
fine.
All right, let's move on.
Well, I'm just upset that we didn't... we have a theme song that we sing for when we get personal.
I think that's good. I mean, what better song?
Yeah.
Do we have to
pay for the rights for that?
No. I don't. I hope not.
No, we don't.
You're fine.
We play Carole King's song at the end of every show we do.
And Gavin DeGraw's from time to time.
And Uncle Cracker.
And Uncle Cracker.
Oh, Follow Me?
Yeah. Wait, no.
A different Uncle Cracker song?
What is it called?
It's Drift Away.
Drift Away.
He does a cover of Drift Away.
Oh, God. Of course, it's a cover. He only wrote one hit.
Yeah.
He did only write one
hit. What a loser.
Imagine going to an Uncle Cracker concert the entire time just like, play the song.
Are there any other...
He opens and closes with it.
Yeah.
Any other moments we want to cover?
I wrote down that when Emily is on the phone talking about, you need to take him away from me.
Oh, that was so good.
She's talking like someone like calling 911 from a closet, just yes. Like, there's a murderer in my house.
Did you like how it briefly turned into the Fast and the Furious when Dean and Richard drove away?
Oh my God, yeah. I was really hoping we'd see them like just racing down, just like looking at each other. It's like, I'm going to beat you to the mechanic.
R.I.P. Paul Walker. And no, and really, R.I.P. Yeah, and Edward Herman.
And Jared Padalecki.
Maybe in heaven.
No, he's alive.
Driving a car off a cliff somewhere.
Mm, off a Cliff Huxtable.
Who's also...
R.I.P.
in a little bit of legal trouble. Well, should we get into that, fellas?
I would love to. No, let's do it.
What, Bill Cosby stuff?
Did you hear about what happened in Ontario?
Oh, that was completely insane.
That's incredible.
Tell it.
Bill Cosby, some woman, as I understand, went up to get a drink or something.
She was leaving to get a drink of water.
And he said...
Well, basically he goes, well, where are you going? She's like, oh, I'm getting a drink. Do you want a drink? And he's like, no, that's fine. You should be careful drinking around me.
To which the audience laughed and applauded.
Yeah.
And gave him a standing ovation at the end of the show.
Right. And then did you see when that guy started yelling out, you're a rapist, you're a rapist, and Bill Cosby does that weird control thing that you see him do in these interviews now where he's like, everybody calm down, everybody calm down. Now, we're not going to be like that today. Calm down. No, stop. We're all just going to be calm. And they start applauding him for how he handled the situation.
Oh, my God.
With no one saying, hey, maybe the guy yelling rapist is in the
right. Yeah, he's right. You are.
It's baffling.
Here's the thing. First of all, I believe he did it. I don't.
100%.
Yeah, there's no doubt in my mind that he did these things. Even if he didn't, to make a joke about it is like, yo.
Yeah. At that point, you're just like flexing your.
Can I tell you real quick?
I'm invincible.
Yeah.
A little inside baseball here. I knew a dude who worked for The Cosby Show for many years, wrote with him. And before any of these stories broke, he talked about him having that reputation.
Yeah.
Said he would come into like the writer's room or whatever on a Monday and be like, oh, I think we're going to have to get some money out of petty cash after the weekend I had. And they would go, oh, who was it? You know, like, what are you going to owe? And he's like, we might be buying a young girl some schooling. I don't know. I think we might be paying for some schooling.
Oh, my God.
And make jokes like that about these payoffs that everyone knew were a part of his day-to-day life. And I had heard that as like a secondhand rumor. But then once those started coming out, it's hard to deny 40 women saying them.
That's fucked up that he, like... would come into an office and just like joke about it and just be like, haha, another one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh.
That's very messed up.
Yeah.
Sounds like we're in agreement that Bill Cosby's not great.
Yeah.
Controversial opinion. Yeah. Well, actually, kind of, according to Ontario.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you saw, but we put out on Twitter like, oh, who would you like to see come on the show? Like, who from the world of comedy or whatever?
Yeah.
And someone replied, Bill Cosby.
Oh. Bill Cosby, we hate you, but please come on the show and we will have a...
Well, you know your ratings would skyrocket if you got an hour with Bill Cosby.
If we got a sklusy with Cosby.
We would just be like, just what did you think about Dean in this episode? Did you rape those women?
In this episode. Oof,
lock the door from the outside.
Oh, my God, yeah. It
would just couple be like... more questions, Bill.
Oh, my gosh.
That was a door locking, not a shotgun.
I was like, whoa, we're not going to kill him. We might threaten him a little.
Speaking of Twitter, I do want to go to Twitter.
That's what we were speaking of.
Just for a hot second, for some Twitter Q&A.
Twitter Q&As.
This one comes from @ Jennifer Lil Lentz, L-L-E-N-T-Z, whatever. She says, this is not a cue, but Lorelai is a straight-up selfish, spoiled bitch all the damn time.
What?
All right.
And that's it for Twitter.
Thanks, Jennifer. And then one that is actually very valid. This comes from Margaret Bradfield, @ Margfield. She asks, do you think Richard would ever really take the time to hang with Babette and her gnomes? Because that was one of the suggested things that he did. It's like... Oh, I saw the gnomes. Didn't he say that one point?
Yeah. Babette is Sally Struthers.
Really?
Who's not in this episode.
No, she wasn't.
Yeah.
I thought it sounded like, why would a woman be encouraging her husband to hang out with some other woman? That's what I
was Lorelai encouraging.
Oh, who's Babette? What's Babette's relation to this world?
She's just a townie.
She's a townie. She's Lorelai's next door neighbor.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, because remember they're houses are across the way from each other.
Every time you see outside of their house, though, it looks like she lives in the middle of nowhere.
Yep. It actually does. And then any other good Q&As? No, these all suck.
What was the thing about the grapefruit?
The grapefruit?
That was a hot story.
Yeah, Richard saying something about a grapefruit, and then she goes to Luke. It's like, I need a grapefruit. And he's like, I'll go buy a grapefruit.
Oh. Over at Mendy's or whatever. Mm. Do you ever go in
Dozies.
That grocery store?
Dozies.
Dozies.
There. You did it, dude. Do you realize what you
it's
just did?
It's spelled D-O-O-S-E, and we're supposed to say it Dosey, and I hate that.
No, that's a D-O-S-I-E.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. From now on, we're going to ask all of our guests, how would you say
how
this?
How would you spell or say
And at the end of this all, we will come to a conclusion as to whether or not they're in the wrong or I am.
Nobody would pronounce You'd pronounce it Deuce.
Right.
Deucey.
It's Moose. It's Deuce.
Yeah.
Deuce. A. And then, yeah, that's all the Twitter Q&A. We got a lot for 213, but not as many for 212.
Twitter Q&A.
Sorry, Patrick.
That's all right.
I apologize to
Can
you personally.
Can we talk again about Dean giving Rory a car? About how that's too much.
Well, have they kissed? Are they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, I'm imagining from your point of view, just this guy shows up and the first thing that he does is give her a car. And she's like, wait, who is this?
I mean, he's in the credits.
I took it. I was completely with the dad.
Like, yeah. Just like,
oh, yeah. No, that's insane.
Yeah. Don't take this car.
Yeah.
I'm with Richard in the sense that I don't think she, like, I think the car is too much, but I do believe that it would be safe for her to drive.
It's definitely street worthy. Yeah. Sure.
You think it's too much? Like, that's a bad boyfriend gift.
I don't think it's a bad. I think it's like it's not too good, but it's like they're 16. They probably haven't been together for a year.
It's intense.
It's very intense.
It's like, but when you're young, you do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it feels like a 50s move. It's like, we're gonna be together, you and me, babe. So I built you this car from my old man's hot rod.
There's a lot of 50s moves in this.
There are.
Show
I started dating this girl in like eighth grade, who I had been dreaming about for like a year. Like, maybe someday we'll get together.
Mm-hmm.
And she wasn't aware of any of that time I spent dreaming about it, though. Yeah. And I had made it very serious in my mind. And then we started dating like December 12th or something. And for Christmas, I got her a clock engraved, and it said, I will love you for all time.
Oh.
And she was understandably blown away by how over the top that was and how it was too much. And this reminded me of that a little bit. Although it wasn't creepy in this, and I'm sure mine was quite creepy. I will love you for all time. And it's one of the biggest regrets of my life. I look back like,
you shouldn't regret
that. Why would I have ever thought she was welcoming? I love you, but I will love you for all time.
All time.
We've been dating for 2 weeks.
It was a
and hadn't kissed. I don't think
it was a wordplay thing. It was time. Yeah. It was the watch. It was. I would forget. No, I think there's worse regrets to have than I express too much affection for someone. Right?
I think
I don't lose sleep over it.
Yeah. Everyone looks back on stuff they did as a kid, and you're like, oh, that was embarrassing.
Yeah. It was embarrassing.
Let me tell you mine. Just the level of playing field. I gave a girl I had a crush on when I was 12 years old a poem that I typed on my computer in like a fiery font, and I gave it to her outside of a Chili's.
What was the poem?
Did you go meet me at this Chili's and then...
No, we were all in a group and then I gave it to her.
I thought the fiery thing was part of the Chili's. You're just like, meet me here under the Chili.
No, but it did. It worked.
Do you remember any of it?
I wish I did. Oh, I don't.
Right. Was she receptive to it?
No.
Oh.
She was 2 years older, and the difference between 12 and 14 is
massive.
A lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was a lot.
You can see PG-13 movies.
I remember when we would pray in circles, we would be the only two not holding hands because she felt weird about it.
Ooh.
Oh, boy.
Woo. Anyway, Brittany. Big shout out to Brittany. Brittany. I want to say her name is.
Anyway. Yeah, just say her full name.
Okay, her full name is Brittany.
Oh, my God.
Wow. You remember a middle name?
I remember the middle name.
You were in too deep.
Because I wrote it down. Anyway.
You were in too deep.
I'm trying to think.
We'll bleep that part out.
No, don't. It's out in the world now. I've already tweeted it.
Let's. Should we go around the horn and give our rating for the
Let's.
Ups? I loved it.
Real quick, am I supposed to compare it to what, television or to?
To all of art.
Oh, wow. Well, that's crazy.
Yeah.
All right.
No.
Just compared to just how much you enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I mean, we compare obviously the past episodes, but just
All right.
We'll go around and we'll give it something out of 10 somethings.
Yeah.
And we all have to make up our own rating system.
Okay.
So I loved it. I love the melancholiness. The ending is what sealed it for me, is like it probably doesn't come up on a lot of best of ever Gilmore Girls lists because it's not just Rory Dean centric, it's not relationship centric, but the little, like you said, kind of the little short story about this man and his pain and his alienation in this new world and he's feeling obsolete is so, so beautifully done. I'm going to give it 10 out of 10 grapefruits.
10 out of 10, that's strong. Damn. Now I feel bad for giving it 6 out of 10 bowls of Rice-A-Roni, the wonderful premium, this episode sponsored by Rice-A-Roni. Mm. No, I liked it, but I feel like there was something missing. I know that it focuses on Lorelai and Rory and they just don't deviate from that, but mm-hmm. if we had followed Richard throughout his day, I think that would have been the most incredible way to do this, just like seeing him go around the town and just not really like like sort of be bored and just come back mm-hmm. to Lorelai at all these points of her day. And then if we had more of a reason to sympathize with Richard other than him just being feeling obsolete, which again is a really strong way to end the episode, I think I would have liked it more. This show does a thing where they will always like come back to a happy moment, like when they're riding in a sleigh or just mm-hmm. like going to get coffee or something. And then like once every 6 episodes or so, we'll have an episode where it just ends on a super down note. And those are always the strongest ways to end it, because you're just like, wait, well, they don't resolve it in the next episode either. It's just kind of like, yeah, that's just how life is sometimes.
It's such a confident move.
It's right? a very confident move, and it's very pessimistic, but it's real, and I love those moves, and it's probably the
reason.
You think
it's pessimistic?
I think so. I think it's pessimistic in the sense that it's a very downer way to look at it. It's just like, yeah, he's sad, and that's the end of that. Sometimes you're sad. Like
that is it's a Sopranos move again. Not to mention,
it is Sopranos.
But Sopranos always ended on like a ugh, like, dear God, he's not going to be all right.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is awesome, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I would give it 7 out of 10 Boogaloos.
Boogaloos. Was that in the episode?
Electric Boogaloo.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. I'm dumb.
Yeah.
Are the Boogaloos you're giving electric?
I think.
Or electro.
I'm going to say the Boogaloos relating to the dad story are electric, and the rest were what brought it down.
Right.
they were not plugged in.
They're mechanical.
The analog Boogaloos. Boogaloos.
I shouldn't walk away. Even though it was my first sample, I don't know that I should walk away from my first episode of Gilmore Girls having to strain a little bit to remember the Gilmore Girls' story.
Yeah.
And really latching on to these side old characters. Although that's a very cool thing.
Right.
And I'd probably be ready for that change if I had just watched the 30 episodes that preceded it.
That's true.
So I'm eager to see what the girls are up to next time.
And you're going
to
keep following it, right?
I am. I think it might be one of those that I watch like 10 of and then I forget it for like years.
Yeah.
But I'm going to do my best because I really did enjoy it.
That's awesome. Well,
but it lacks the serialized elements, unless it doesn't. That would keep me hooked and watching like 10 in a row.
It is lightly serialized. I mean, I don't know. Obviously, it's not like 24 or something, but.
Right.
It's very lightly serialized.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you kind of need that if you're going to watch like 200 of something.
Right.
To kind of hook you in.
Absolutely. Because imagine if it was like 24 and then we just invited guests to come on for a random episode. Like, what'd you think of this?
I would love to do.
Yeah,
it's like, I don't know who have these people are. Who died? Why are they at a funeral?
You know what's possible too? And I learned it's just, you know, in working on shows, sometimes the episode doesn't end where the script ends. And that might have been what happened here. Maybe you do see him walking around and looking at stuff and they thought, well, this is pointless. He can just say, I went and looked at stuff. Mm-hmm. And they cut those scenes. Maybe there was a wrap-up of the girl's story that didn't work. Or like an actor in it sucked or any number of things. And that's why they ended with this melancholy ending out of the blue. You never know.
Right. Hmm.
Sometimes things get cut.
Well, that's a great writer's perspective on it from one of the greats, Patrick Walsh.
I think I just
pronounced your name Patrick Walsh.
Walsh.
I'll take it.
One of the greats, Patrice Walsh.
One of the greats. You keep scrolling through your phone to find out what my
one
name is.
One of the greats, Patrick Walsh. Well, thank you so much for joining us for this episode,
thanks
Patrick.
For having me, fellas.
Please come back if you ever have the inclination to keep on following.
I'd love to.
Cool. Where can we find you on Twitter, Instagram, Vine?
Twitter, Instagram, and Vine, I am at the Patrick Walsh.
Mm-hmm. And Two Broke Girls, still writing on that.
Every Monday night, It airs.
It airs.
I write for it every day.
That's right.
And that's it.
Awesome.
I was on Drunk History. I do stand up once every 3 months or so. So come out.
Are you drunk on Drunk History?
Quite.
Awesome. Yeah. Oh, we'll be on the lookout for that.
Yeah. No, I already did it.
Oh, it already came out?
It already aired.
Oh, so go back and watch that.
ComedyCentral.com and check out the episode.
Yeah, I need to catch up on Drunk History. I haven't watched it since
the first two. It's very serialized. You got to start from the beginning.
I know. Adnan.
Why did I just start listing my credits? It's like you say it, then all of a sudden you start feeling like, oh God, I haven't done enough.
We want to. Where'd you graduate from school? What did you?
Oh, I'm sure you've heard of it. Webster University.
Boom.
And St. Louis, Missouri.
Yeah, no, we all know.
We get it. Well, you can follow me at Kevin T. Porter on Instagram and on Twitter. I don't know why I plugged Instagram first. Follow
me on
Twitter.
Your pictures.
Yeah, I post fun pictures of me and Demi being a couple of silly billies.
No.
And you can follow the... I'm sorry.
No.
Do your plugs.
I'm fine if I don't get to plug myself. You can follow me at Electrolemon pretty much everywhere.
Everywhere, especially on Vine.
Every time you say that, I cringe a little bit.
Now, why? You are very funny on Vine, and I feel a shame about it, too. When I post a Vine that I know is funny or anything else, or anyone says, oh, I hear you're on Vine, it fills me with dread and shame. But why? If you're funny on there, you're funny, and you're very funny.
I don't focus a lot on Vine very much, and I feel like when people are just like, yeah, he's a Viner, I feel like they're going, when they say Viner, they're like, Viner, like Curtis Lepore and all these other people. I'm just like,
I think that Curtis Lepore ruined Vine.
I think he did.
He might.
But surely there are people who have raped people on Twitter as well. Why is that? Why do you say Twitter proud?
Bill Cosby's on Twitter.
Yeah.
That's true.
Like, why did he ruin an entire app?
Because I think Vine is still a very new thing. I don't think people take it seriously. No one's like,
yeah.
Twitter got big because people were breaking news on it. And like,
sure.
When people are like getting shot and shit is happening, like revolutions are being broadcast through Twitter. And like, that. I was honestly ready to just go for it. But I don't know. Vine, I don't think, has that sort of a thing. It's just like people know it's the platform for comedy. And the comedy that is big on Vine is mostly
terrible.
Is racist and awful.
Mostly for people that aren't us. Yeah. So
that's my sort of issue with the criticism of it, even though, as I said, I feel shame about Vine as well, is that Twitter is full of racist shit, unfunny shit as well.
It just doesn't get as much of a highlight as Vine.
I think, because Vine is so much more influenced by, like, teens and preteens, probably.
It's the way I feel about YouTube. Like, obviously, everything's on YouTube, but I do not want to be a YouTuber.
Right.
Because it's like, that's a very specific type of person.
Well, here's a little critical part, though. I think a lot of the people on Twitter who shit on Vine, do Vine jokes all the time, lack a performing element, and tried on Vine and couldn't make it. You look up a lot of these people and they got like one or two really unfunny Vines and then they get off.
That's interesting because it does flex a whole different muscle.
Yeah, because they're like, I'm really funny and I'm not good at this app, so it naturally sucks. But some people can't act. That's all.
That's true.
This has been a very thoughtful discussion.
You can also find me on Instagram. I'm kidding.
I don't know why I got so passionate about that, but...
No, it's good, because, I mean... And, two, just the point of, like, if you don't like something, then you can be the change you want to see.
Absolutely. Right.
Yeah. No, Gandhi said that.
Because you guys are both diamonds in the rough, as far as Vine goes.
I'm not rough.
Rough.
But you don't do it hardly at all anymore. I don't do it hardly at all anymore.
It's like if I have a very... an idea that I really like, and if I have someone that I know is like
you
down
don't commit to the discipline of Vine.
Not really. Yeah, there are some people who are like, I gotta make a Vine every week, and I'm just kind of like, I haven't made one in a month, I'm fine.
Yeah, those are the ones that are always dog shit too. If you're trying to force it,
it's true.
Can I swear? I ask an hour later.
Yeah
okay, it said explicit.
Oh yeah.
This
swore
is an R-rated podcast.
Yeah. Hardcore Styles Hala.
Call the babysitter. It's Gilmore Guys time.
You can follow the show at Gilmore Guys Show on Twitter or on Facebook, facebook.com/Gilmore Guys Show. Follow us. You can email us, GilmoreGuysShow@gmail.com. We read all your emails. Thank you so much. And we'll read them on the air on Gil Mail Guys or...
Emaily Gilmail.
So, Patrick, I know you stated previously how much you love the theme song so very much.
I want to hear Patrick sing his version of the theme song, kind of.
Okay.
Me and my girls dancing in pajamas. Me and my girls going shopping at the mall. Me and my girls doing Gilmore stuff with our Gilmore friends.
Hit it, Kevin.
We're out on the road, feeling lonely and so cold. All you have to do is call my name and I'll be there.
They stole that from Golden Girls, by the way.
They did.
No, Golden Girls was the 80s. This song was written in 1973 or 4.
This wasn't written for the show?
No, this is from Carole King's album Tapestry.
Oh, then I'm wrong. Then Golden Girls stole it.
Yes.
Did Carole King write the Golden Girls theme song?
I don't believe so.
Where you
Golden Girls has a good theme song, though.
They do.
Yeah. And it sounds very similar.
That you tell me.
Because it's about friendship and women.
You need me to be with you. Golden Girls is on TV land.
Thank you for being a friend. Thanks, Patrick.
Hey, thank you.
Guys.
Yo.
So this iTunes review challenge has been going swimmingly. It is overwhelming how many names we have this time. So much so that we're having to record this after Patrick Walsh has left.
Because you guys are out of control.
You guys are out of control.
You left so many reviews and we are thankful.
How many? This is at least 30 people.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. So I don't want to belabor the point. Call back to an episode that hasn't come out yet. Yeah, thank you guys. So for those that might be new to the show, leave us an iTunes review and we rap about you, and that's the deal. So we're gonna honor you the only way we know how.
May I have your attention, please? I'm not doing it.
God damn it. You should.
Will the real Slim Shady please stand up?
Will the real Gillies?
I repeat, will the real Gillies please stand up?
Here we go now. Here. Kate the Albino, thank you so much. You're better than a rhino and such. R.M. Hannon, your name's not Shannon. You know that girl Kate McCannon on SNL? Go to hell. Just kidding. Don't go to hell. Go to heaven. My name's Kevin. What? Here you go. Aaron Ginnete Moore. I think you really scored by leaving a review on us. Yes. Move that bus.
Cat Kirk, you put in some work. You left us a review, and we want to say thank you. Jill at Ship, hey, that's cool. You ain't a Crip, you a Blood, fool. Don't think I want to start a gang war. Don't do that on this podcast. Audrey Grace, thank you for your face and your grace and leaving us a nice word.
Bird. CB123, I wanna rap about you and me. _Ace, I love your face all over the place. Don't give me that mace in the face. Hey, Arc0578, I think you're great. I don't have no hate. Ray-1987, my name is Kevin, and I'm saying hi. Thank you so much for your words, such and such.
Jeanette Rock, you really rock. The rock's in the building. Hello, kid. Downtown. The next girl is Downtown Abby. She's so crabby. Just kidding. She's really, really happy. Thank you for saying words about our podcast. If they were bad, then I take it back. Buffy, the Pug's mom. Thank you for saying words.
And being the bomb.
You were the bomb. And also, you're a slayer. You're slaying the reviews, and that's no layer.
No, nickname Helen. I love your melons. Oh, shit. No, I'm sorry. I don't. That's disrespectful. I'm so sorry.
Oh,
Ray Gun, you're the one. Tam for him, 70. Levity. 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 Humor and comedy. The Goldens, NNC. Ziggy Fleetwood, you and me. Holocaust Forever, that's pretty clever. DX Hightower, that's not a rhyme.
Gilmore Guys, Girls, but thank you. That's pretty absurd, but it's like Gilmore's Guys, Girls, Guys, Girls, Guys. Guys girl. How many can you go? Oh, Robin Rander. She left a review with candor. Jim Doe Jork. I don't know how to say your name, but it's like pork, pork, like the Swedish chef. Brand Loveless. You're cool, and that's no diss, because we love you. We're not loveless. We think you are rad, unlike Superbad.
Superbad left a review. He wasn't too kind. He wasn't in the mood, but he left some words, and I take it to heart, and we're trying to make some really good art. Oh. So thank you, Superbad, for your words. We'll be better. stop being a turd. No Milk 423, Crisscross, Crisscross Christie, Coral Blue 32, Me and You, Head in the Clouds, Jack McCloud. Is that a thing? Jack McCloud?
I don't know who that is.
Neither do I.
No, Charlie McCloud.
I Want Some Pie.
Charles Sinclair.
B. Rathbun, Rachel Dene, Jesse for Gilmore, Hey, 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 Case 31, Noel Ington, Merlin 324, I Want to Sing In.
Maddie Phantom, like Danny Phantom, but you're here and that's random. Cam Kusa, like Medusa, turn me to stone. Kusa, Kate, Emma, two names, but you only play one game. Thank you, Lacey Johnson. We want to say you're great. That's hi, son.
Petri dish. You're such a dish.
Oh.
U00, Jim 7, E. Smith 67, Eckstein Wagner.
That's cool.
Ducky size, Ducky 7582.
Ooh.
You make me not feel so blue. I'm happy when I read your stuff, and I never can get enough. Lady Lisa 21. I hope you actually are 21.
Oh my God.
Sobo 73. I hope you actually are 73. Clint Pye. What a nice guy or a nice girl. You Ooh, made no. my world.
Ursula S. You left a review and that was a success. So
oh no,
thanks.
It's fading.
Oh, IOC 702. We want to say thank you.
From you and me and Demi.
Thanks.
Thank you.